T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky with you here on 95.7 The Game. We do want to welcome ESPN 1320 up in Sacramento to the family. You guys are now La Familia. You are in. You are simulcasting the show. It is good to have you on. It really, really is. 49ers, very impressive yesterday. We're going to get out to the Kyle Shanahan press conference for some opening comments and maybe one or two good questions, especially if they're well mic'd, we'll stick around for. We'll probably peel away quickly. But I do want to hear what he has to say opening up. And obviously, the first few questions have to be about Joe Staley, what they plan on doing to address this injury. It was too bad that it happened. It really is the only bloom that is off the rose that is this 2-0 start for the 49ers. 888-957-9570. We got Dave, South Bay. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing good, Damon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I'm very happy and excited. The Niners won 2-0, first time in a long time. It's a good feeling. But, hey, I'm going to be real. If you, John Lynch, I know you guys are on Twitter, seen the news. There's some players that could be had via trade. Earlier came out Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins. Now you get breaking news that Jalen Ramsey wants out. I get it. We're 2-0. Do you stay the course? Or do you look back at your John Lynch? You missed out on Mac. You missed out on some trades that could have happened. Hey, you missed out on some first-round, second-round picks.
Dave, I'll tell you what, Dave. This is where the Joe Staley injury hurts twice. Because the way you're thinking is 100% the right way to think. Are you telling me that there's elite talent available and we think we might be something this year? Go get the elite talent. But unfortunately, Joe Staley's injury has created a need where before he was injured, there was no need. Now that need probably supersedes any want of the Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, is Minka Fitzpatrick.
To be clear.
Not Ryan Fitzpatrick. Thank you very much. And Jalen Ramsey, who apparently has reached the Rubicon with Doug Marrone and wants out of Jacksonville. By the way, if I'm Jacksonville, I would fire Doug Marrone before I traded Jalen Ramsey.
100%.
Well, but that's not how it works, and that wouldn't be how it works either. Also, the caller kept saying John Lynch, as though John Lynch operates in a vacuum. Kyle Shanahan is the guy who's going to decide whether they want Trent Williams or Jalen Ramsey or Minka Fitzpatrick or anybody. Because he's the one who, A, has last say, and B, he's the one who wants to who has to decide whether being 2-0 against two ordinary to substandard opponents is something to hang your hat on. And I think when you say John Lynch, it makes it sound like he's the guy who's got to do this, when in fact it's Shanahan's brain and Shanahan's mood that decides all of it, because those are big deals. And they're big deals because it will cost you most of your remaining draft capital at the top end of the draft this coming year.
And I don't think they want to do that, because there are things they want to do with that draft capital. And those things are not the same positions that are available for those trades right now. To me, if you had, for example, a wide receiver of the talent of Jalen Ramsey who was dissatisfied with the situation and looking for a trade, then I'm considering that first-round pick. If you had a tackle, if Laremy Tunsil was available today, you'd think about that very seriously. They, I assume, will kick some tires on Trent Williams, but the level of price tag on guys like Ramsey and Fitzpatrick to play a position where you probably feel pretty good about what you have. Again, Minka Fitzpatrick and Jalen Ramsey may be better, but if you feel good about what you have there, you're not likely to spend a lot to upgrade.
And remember, before you start just willy-nilly, and you could say, hey, these are talented players, this is not a willy-nilly trade of my first-round pick. Before you go throwing in your first-round pick, remember, you don't have a second-round pick next year because of the D Ford trade. So are you willing to not pick until the third round of next year's draft?
A lot of people have mentioned also today Kaywan Williams not looking great yesterday. To me, you asked Jason Verrett to try to solve that problem. And I think if he'd been active yesterday, you'd have seen him. But you don't go spend a first rounder on Jalen Ramsey to replace your slot corner. That's not
Jalen Ramsey isn't going to be your slot corner.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, and Jason Verrett, let's be honest, Jason Verrett is the Alex Dickerson of the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. The only reason why he's on your team is the reason why the minute he joins your team, he's probably going to exit. He's always hurt. He wouldn't be here if he weren't always hurt. He wouldn't be here if he had already been a failure medically.
He looks good.
He's getting better in front of our eyes. He really, really is.
And that's kind of the point. If you have a, say, B-plus cornerback in Akello Witherspoon at age 23 and an A-minus in Richard Sherman at 32 or whatever it is, do you want to give up a first-rounder for an A-plus? I'm just not sure that lines up, given the talent you have.
I think the bigger problem, more than all of that, is they don't have a lot of draft capital coming into next year.
Yep.
If they had two ones and a second,
they'd be totally different.
And maybe two thirds, then yeah, you could be in business. They don't seem to have that. So I think that more than anything else is why they wouldn't be kicking the tires.
I tell you
on
what,
anybody.
Kyle Shanahan has just reached the podium down in Santa Clara. Let's, courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area, join and hear what the Niners head coach has to say about his 2-0 start.
When he came in, he did a good job. You know, I mean, we were mainly running the ball at that time, but it was good to get him in a real NFL game, especially since he's going to be playing a lot next week.
What have you seen from him just since he's been here?
Just the game's not too big for him. I mean, that's what we liked a lot about him, you know, being a four-year starter in the SEC at Vanderbilt, you know. Got to play against a lot of good players always throughout an entire game. You know, he played the whole game pretty well. Wasn't always a ton of great highlight tape plays, but he was a guy the game wasn't too big for and helped his team win.
You and John have been always aggressive throughout the tenure here looking at options. Are you going to be aggressive, you think? Just look at what is out there for left tackle?
Yeah, always. I mean, we would love to if there were options. You look at anything that's possible. I don't think there's a ton of great options out there that are possible.
What's the situation? You know, you're 2-0, two road wins. Do you feel different about this team having done that, or is this what you thought you were going to be doing?
I mean, we expected to be, but I've been in this league long enough that I know that no matter what you expect, I mean, it's hard. It's very hard to win in this league versus whoever you play. I mean, we know we have a better team going into this year. I think we played like it in two games. What I was really happy is we found a way to win an ugly game that first game, which we haven't done too much around here. And yesterday was a little bit different. Everything kind of just clicked in all three phases, so that was fun to be a part of. But no, by no means do I feel – I never feel great. I mean, we're 2-0. We're going to have a real tough team this week. Got a number of injuries we got to deal with and make some adjustments this week because of it. But now the season's just getting started.
Different kind of flight. Obviously, you've been on the road for so long, but to get the win you had, to go 2-0, the flight back home, what was that like?
It was fun. It was real fun. You know, we had a pretty bad delay, so it took us a while to get onto the plane. It took a while to refuel coming from Chicago, but when we got on there, it was a good time. Usually get on there and fall asleep, but not this time. We stayed up pretty late. Now that we're East Coast guys, we know how to stay up later. But no, being back on the way, definitely being away for 10 days, it would have been a much sadder feeling coming back here, being gone that long if you came back losing those games. To come back 2-0 and made it a lot more fun.
A lot more fun, 2-0. If the choice is 2-0 or 1-1 or 0-2, you always choose 2-0. What does it officially mean? I think it means they're no longer a bad team. What else does it mean? How are they going to play this? You heard them talking about Justin Skuhl, and Kyle Shanahan says he's going to be playing a lot this week. So, Justin Skuhl, this is your life. I mean, it really is. This is an audition week for you against a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is going to be coming in without Ben Roethlisberger. What does that mean? We'll be asking Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker, all about that. He joins us today at 4:30. Kenny Albert joins us at 5:30. Kenny called the Niners' Week 1 win in Tampa. He also called that Steelers game yesterday. I do, in my hand, have a statement from Ben Roethlisberger about his future. You might be interested in it. I'll tell it to you and what it is next. Here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
A monster Monday here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. We've got Michael Irvin joining us in less than 15 minutes. The Hall of Famer, the playmaker, going to be here. Always one of our great conversations of the week. Entertaining as the day is long. And we do have to talk about that shirt he wore yesterday. It was Thursday night. That's when I saw him on TV. Shirt looked like a Miami Hurricanes Rorschach test. I don't know. We got to talk about that. Ben Roethlisberger has issued a statement. Ben Roethlisberger going to be shut down for the rest of the year. He says, I've been informed that I need season-ending surgery on my elbow to continue playing football at the level that I expect. This is shocking and heartbreaking for me to miss much of this season, and I feel like I'm letting down so many people. I can only trust God's plan, but I'm completely determined to battle through this challenge and to come back stronger than ever next season. The Steelers committed 3 years to me this offseason. I fully intend to honor my contract and reward them with championship-level play. I will do all I can to support Mason and the team this season and help them win games. I love this game, my teammates, the Steelers organization and fans, and I feel in my heart that I've got a lot left to give. That's not the statement I expected from Ben Roethlisberger. I really thought that his dobber was pointing out of the league more than it was pointing into the league.
Yeah, because he's threatened to retire like 4 times.
Exactly, and the performance in Week 1 was so dour against the Patriots. The performance in Week 2 was bad enough to end your season, and I'm surprised he is like trying to rally the troops. It's really not the cloak he wears.
Well, he had to change his cloak after his fight with Antonio Brown. He quit his regular radio show and now appears sort of intermittently on another radio show. And he always offered sort of those, you know, double-edged critiques of his teammates on the radio show. And I think that wore a lot of teammates out. So I think he's trying overtly to seem supportive now because he's found out what honesty gets you in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Because I'm not convinced he's going to support Mason Rudolph 100%.
I'm convinced he's not going to support Mason Rudolph 100%. And frankly,
I think he'd support him to the percentage of you're good enough to get us through the year, but not good enough to take my job.
When his circumstance changed, So will Rudolph's.
You remember anything else like this? This just strikes me as some of the most empty nonsense I've ever read in my life. Like, I don't ever remember a quarterback getting hurt and issuing a statement like this. And I don't know what he could do to make me think less of this from a sincerity perspective. Like, I just...
Could be taped to a woman's bathroom door. That was a cheap shot. It was a cheap shot, but it was Ray. You admire it on some level.
No. I have no argument with it because it's based on fact.
Yeah, the guy's a dirtbag, and I don't buy it. I guess is where I'm at.
Sounds like he's doing all he can in a statement to make sure that those next 2 years are kicked in.
And that's right.
Yeah.
Don't cut me. I'll be back
again.
Oh, I don't think they were going to cut him anyway.
No, I don't either.
Because I'm not sure how much of the money was guaranteed.
No, I'm just saying that's what this reads like.
What I'm saying is his motivation for putting that out is his own behavior in past years with other teammates.
Yep.
Speaking of behavior, Robert Klemko of Sports Illustrated turned an interesting piece today in about Antonio Brown, some past that has not been documented until today, about some of the things he did in other situations, other choices he has made, and to say that it is an inglorious biography of some of the choices he has made is it. I don't know how he's not on the commissioner's exempt list after this one, right? Or is there anything that's going to put him on this list?
No, nothing's going to put anybody on that list anymore, because I think the league is trying to get out of discipline altogether. And they will do it only when forced, because it has turned out so poorly for them time after time. And I also don't think Roger Goodell has the stomach to keep fighting these.
And I don't think...
Because he's not getting supported by his owners. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just don't think they... I'd have to look, but I don't think they traditionally have done the commissioner's exempt list thing for old stuff. And I realize that minimizes things that should not be minimized. Antonio Brown seems really like one of the worst people around. But as far as the NFL issuing discipline, this is not the sort of stuff they go after. The commissioner's exempt list has been more for things that happen sort of live in real time, and the legal system hasn't even begun to process them yet, and we don't know what to do, so we're just going to sit you down. These things are old accusations resurfacing, and I don't think the NFL is going to touch it.
Michael Irvin joins us in moments here. We're looking forward to that conversation, what the NFL decides to do. I don't know. I can't solve it, and honestly, I don't want to. I'm tired of football having to play a role of better police and decision makers than actual people who are in position of authority, like really are asked to make at times. Can I do have something to solve, though. I really do. I would like to help the NFL solve what is a clear and an evident problem. I want to go to the Saints-Rams game yesterday. The fumble return that got overturned because the play was blown dead by an official who was a little overzealous with the whistle. New rule. I'm going to go a little Bill Maher here, real time. New rule. Stop blowing plays dead. There. Congratulations. I've just solved you days worth of headaches down the road in this football season. Days, months, weeks, years even. There are a lot of other things that can still go wrong. There are a lot of other elements of replay that still need an awful lot of work and massaging. But this one issue alone... If this is a live ball happening, don't blow it dead. What do you think replay exists for? Replay exists to give you the comfortable cushion of let it play out, and then we'll go back and look at it. If you don't know, don't enact the one mechanism that eliminates us figuring it out.
The flaw in the theory, though, is that you think the official who blew the whistle didn't know. He knew what he thought he knew, which is why he blew the whistle. It was a preposterous mistake. Now, where you are on the right track is, if a guy's run 30 yards and you haven't thought to blow the whistle yet, maybe you don't blow it then and then let replay sort it out. I mean, because there are going to be inadvertent whistles. But the fact that it took 40 yards for that to happen, I'm not sure how the mechanism is that you can defend that. Because that's the real problem with that play, ultimately, is that it took them 15 strides.
Right. He didn't blow the whistle in the moment of ball on the ground. He blew the whistle in the moment of parade going that way. And that's what's so bad about it. And by the way, there's something that is always honest about a player's gait, like when they're running. Like, you see players have that, oh, I'm going to run with the dead ball, but then they never take it all the way to the end zone.
I'm about to, but then I realize I can't and I shouldn't. If you watch the Bears yesterday, Kyle Fuller did one of those when his knee went down.
Yes!
And he ran all the way to the end zone, but we all knew his knee went down.
He knew. The way that he was running, he knew it was coming back.
But there were also whistles going on the entire time, so he knew.
Yeah, but nevertheless, like, guys, I think Damon's right. Guys kind of betray themselves with body language in those moments.
Someone's like, Damon, your phrase should be, if you don't know it, don't blow it.
I like that.
Print the t-shirts.
If you don't know, don't blow. Very strong.
If you don't know it, don't blow it. We're talking about whistles. 888-957-9570.
You know, I would extend that to other areas.
Duke in the city.
I'm just going to let you hang with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Duke in the city.
No, you should let the silence last
you're
a little
welcome.
Longer and just let him swing
Steve
and win.
Bruce.
It was a mercy
Matt,
killing.
The great Matt Koski and the legend Ray Ratto. Hey, fellas, I could sit up here and we could talk about that the offensive line thing all day long or do the Jalen Ramsey thing. But I was told to do this hot take and get it done. So can we make that happen, D. Bruce?
You got a hot take. Let's get it.
I'm going to do it just like this. The defense of destruction is led by DeForest Buckner. He's not the only one on the slate. There was Alexander the Great. He was eating with a spoon. There were some animals in the room. A cheetah, to be precise. Breeder was running real nice. Garoppolo was popping, though, with a pretty picture from Mostart. At the finish line, he threw a dime to the medal winner that flew right by to the end zone where the Niners sit on the golden throne.
Look at that.
Love y'all. Have a good afternoon.
Even upticked it for the morning show. It plays in morning and afternoon drive. Thank you very much.
Just for the record, if for whatever reason Duke ever becomes unwelcome on the radio, I would like to receive those poems via email or Twitter. So find me, Duke, because I live for that. A Duke poem is, we get nothing else all week on the radio like Duke's poems.
The real question is, when does he start working on them?
That's a great question.
Lunchtime today? Was he working on that third quarter yesterday at some point? I guess it's
1:04 p.m.
Yeah,
yesterday.
You might be right. 888-957-9570. It was an unbelievably could-be season-defining week of football, and you just go back and you look at the fork in the road that we took in week two. Like, the 49ers are very hopeful that Joe Staley's injury isn't a season-redefining injury. We had two of them. Two of them yesterday. Big Ben's injury done for the year. That is season-redefining for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you thought that they were going to be good, it's harder to see that now in any way, shape, or form.
Quickly.
Yes.
It actually, in many ways, was a season-changing win, or at least in one specific way. Because Kyle Shanahan says they're doing the East Coast week stay thing again this year because of how well it's gone. So they play at the Ravens December 1st, at the Saints December 8th, and they will be staying somewhere between Baltimore and New Orleans for that week.
Go to Youngstown again.
Let's do it, man.
It's working.
Youngstown is undefeated. I told you, Ray.
Sounds like the Tennessee Valley.
3-0 is a trend. 3-0 is a trend.
Do it.
I want to know where they're staying first. I mean, if they're going back to Youngstown, that seems like wasted jet fuel.
It's not that far out of the way.
It's a nice Holiday Inn.
Ooh. It's like
La Quinta.
Oh, okay.
They're taking the right triangle instead of the hypotenuse if they go through Youngstown on the way to New Orleans.
Okay, Biloxi.
Always a nice spot in December. Visit Biloxi.
Big Ben done for the year. Drew Brees, depending on the surgery that he has on his throwing hand, that's a huge question. Look, Eli Manning might have played himself into a healthy scratch. I saw that Trey Wingo tweeted, if the Giants move on from Eli in week three, it would be the first time since Eli Manning, Drew Brees, nor Ben Roethlisberger started for their respective teams since all the way back in 2004, which is officially now a long, long, long time ago. We're very happy to bring in the man who is one of our best conversations of the week, every week that we get to talk to him, Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker, radio.com insider. You see him on NFL Network. All guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line. Michael comes to us courtesy of Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Stead automotive dealer. Michael, thank you for joining us. Before we get into anything that happened in week two, can we start with the shirt that you wore on Thursday Night Football? A bold choice. I know you've heard an awful lot about it. How do you feel 3 days after it happening? Do you still feel as good as when you went to air with it?
Hey, come on, D. You have to understand now. I am forward thinking. What I do, I bring to you. And in a few months, you'll see more people doing that because my wife, she puts together all my clothes. She's ahead in this thing. I was at my son's high school game a couple years ago, and I had on some tight jeans, you know, and it was in the hood, too. The game was in the hood. And the brothers were telling me, hey, Michael, where you got on those skinny jeans, those tight jeans? I said, hey, listen, brother, I don't dress for you dudes in the ghetto. I dress for these people that's coming out of Europe. Don't wear what they wear. That's what I'm saying. I wear what they wear, and trust me, it will be coming this way soon. And I always say this. When people are talking about what I wore, 4 to 5 days later,
it worked.
And it worked. I stained their brain, and they're bringing it back to me. That's a good thing.
From the University of Miami, Michael Irvin here with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Michael, the 49ers come back from 2 weeks on the road with two wins. Obviously, the Joe Staley injury is cause for concern. We'll get to that. Let's talk about what went right. That's a prolific day of offense for a team that
everything
needed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything went right, man. I mean, every time Maria touched the ball, it looked like he was breaking off 10 yards in a rush game. You had over 500 yards of offense. That's incredible. That's an incredible jump from week one. Now, listen to you. Remember we talked about this. We talked about the schedule. We said when we were talking about how happy you all guys are with the receiving group, I said, you got to add Kittle. And I said, look at your schedule. You can jump up 2-0, and now the confidence come to this team. They feel like they belong, and things can take off. And now you've got a Pittsburgh team coming up without Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, there's some opportunities here. You just got to take advantage of
them. When a team runs up as many rushing yards as 49ers did yesterday with basically third and fourth string running backs, according to their original depth chart, are you a little suspicious that maybe they ran into a team that simply doesn't tackle well and that's not something you should plan on? Or do you think that magic has suddenly been achieved in a place where you wouldn't expect magic to show up?
Delusion?
No, you're here.
Oh, okay, because I thought let me tell you what I saw was that I saw some great, I mean, incredible play design. And you guys see it now. It's happening all around the league with all the misdirection. Everybody's kind of stealing a little bit from what they saw the Rams do a couple of years ago in that McVay offense. And it's a lot of misdirection and everything. So what you're using, it's not just the blocks are getting on the blocks. You're using the misdirections to put your blockers in better positions to make those blocks. So when you're talking about, okay, is it great us or just poor them, I think you got to look at a little bit on both sides of it. It's great you, but also poor recognition on the side of Cincinnati and great design by Kyle Shanahan and play call. That Marquise Goodwin touchdown, that was directly stolen from the Rams. Because I remember a couple of years ago I did the Rams game, and Cooper Kupp ran that same play. They ran that same play. It was just a great play. Now you're seeing it all over the NFL. We're seeing so much scheme beat scheme, and your guy's scheming up some good stuff, and he did a great job in that game playing Sunday.
I'm glad you brought up the Marquise Goodwin touchdown, because I'm always curious about that, and hopefully as a wide receiver you can give us some insight. You're saying that's a great scheme that gets him that open, because I figure it must be. Nobody in the NFL is ignored enough to be that open on any play. So what is it about that play that gets him? I mean, nobody within 15 yards of him there.
He gets lost in a shuffle of the offensive line and all that, and then everybody's flowing one way, and as he gets lost, he comes rolling out on the other side. I mean, it is incredible. I look at this offense. I look at some of these teams that they're running now, some of the things they're running, because, you know, in my NFL, we didn't run that. It was man beat man. You got to line up on me, and I got to go run the route and beat you. Now they're designing the schemes, which is incredible, to get guys wide open, which means you can take less talent, and still win games, because you're not asking this guy to only use his talent to win. You're saying, just be in the right spot. I'm designing you open. You don't have to use your talent to get open.
Playmaker, Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. So as good as the 49ers looked, Joe Staley's injury is a little bit of the cloud hanging over the team this week. They've got a very good right tackle in Mike McGlinchey. And it used to be, well, you move your right tackle to left tackle and you ask your depth to now figure it out on the right-hand side. There's so much talent everywhere defensively in the NFL. I don't know if one tackle means that much more than the other.
Wait a minute now. Wait. Now, this does. This does, though. Because this is a guy that's been there forever. This is a guy that probably, and I'm not in that room, but I'm sure he sets the tone for everything that goes on that offensive line. Because he's the guy. You see, so when you're missing that guy, you know what? When we lost to San Francisco in the 94 championship game, we were missing Eric Williams. Now, we had a great offensive line, but we had just lost Eric Williams to that car accident, and I'm telling you, that made a huge difference in everything. It made a huge difference because Eric was the guy that set our offensive line. He set our offensive line. So yeah, I would like to tell you that there's some truth to that you can stick him in and put him in and plug and play, but Staley is a little bit more than just the tackle. He's a man, I think, that sets everything. So you have to see. I'm curious to see how it works without him there.
Conversely, Pittsburgh has now been routed by New England and lost their quarterback in a loss in week two. Can you become so sort of beaten down after 2 weeks, after having been as successful as the Steelers have been, and just basically just fold at this point? Are we looking at a team capable of being 4-12?
Yes, you are looking at a team capable of being 4-12. But I don't think Mike Tomlin will let them fold, to be honest with you. You know, he's been a great coach, man, and he'll get the most out of them. And that quarterback came in, did not play horribly. I mean, I got to give him credit for what I saw Mason Rudolph do when he came in the game and he took over. I was like, hey, he looks like something. And interestingly enough now, I'm going to be interesting to see how he plays because they got a lot of young guys. Can you think about this? Think about this. They've lost Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger. All are gone from that team. You're talking about young guys having to have to step up and make some plays and try to get this thing back on track in a tough situation. So, yeah, they could possibly go 4-12, but I guarantee you it'll be the toughest 4-12 team that you play because Mike Tomlin will have them ready to play.
If the Niners are going to take that step forward, they have to beat Pittsburgh with a backup quarterback in their home opener. That went from want to win to must win, did it not?
Yes, it did. But let me tell you this now, and I'll never forget. I remember Jimmy used to always say to us, because I used to say, man, when somebody was hurt, I hope they were at full strength so we can beat them at full strength. You know, I'll be sitting there, Jimmy said, hey, listen, this is the NFL. We take them how they come, buddy. We take them how they come. And in 95, we did have Jimmy, and I remember we were playing the 49ers, and guess who was quarterback? Alvis Gerback. And we're thinking, oh, my God, we're going to run through them. We're going to run through this team. It's not Joe Montana who we played. It's not Steve Young. It's Alvis Gerback. We're about to kill this team. We lost that game 38-20. 38-20. Gerback hit Jerry Rice early in the play. He went 80 yards. I remember running the short. Just go get that back. We got to get that back. Peak went 80. Let's go 80. Troy looked at me and said, Michael, that's not our game. We won't go 80, but maybe I can get you 420s in there. Let's go get 420s in. Let's go get 420s in. Anytime you have that quarterback missing, it's a tendency of a little letdown. And I know Coach Shanahan, he's going to be harping on this, that you cannot let down. Because right now, like you talked about, Pittsburgh, this is a team with their backs against the wall. They will come out swinging and fighting hard.
The news out of Jacksonville today, if there is such a thing as news out of Jacksonville, is that Jalen Ramsey wants to get traded and basically has said he wants out. Is there a way that a coach who's having a problem with one of his best players can make that go away, or does that fester all the way through a season to the point where the team gets crushed by it? In other words, do the Jaguars, who say they're not going to trade him, have to trade him?
Yeah, that's a tough call right there. You know, there's a way you can fix it. But, boy, it takes a real man to have to fix it because the ego. Look at the ego that we're talking about. Wait, it coaches the great best corner. I think the best cornerback in the NFL right now is Jalen Ramsey. Bar none to me. The best cornerback in the NFL. So both of these guys have egos, and they're both secure in what they're doing. It takes something. And sometimes to fix that's what you call it. That requires the owners getting involved and pulling together those two on a meeting and making sure that these guys understand, hey, we both are going to be here, you know, and telling Jalen Ramsey, we have your right, we're both are going to be here, we're never going to trade you, and try to get these guys together. Because if it doesn't come together, you hit the nail on the head. It can destroy a locker room. Because anytime there's a bad decision made, Jalen Ramsey will amplify that bad decision. And continue to say, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. And garner support in that locker room. And pretty soon, you're going to have a mutiny on your hand.
So, from the Niners' perspective on Jalen Ramsey, even if we all agree he's tremendous, let's say he's the best corner in the league, if you're the Niners and you don't have Jalen Ramsey, but you got two guys you feel pretty good about on the edges, is it worth sacrificing a number one pick, a first round pick, for a guy who might only be a slight improvement over the two pretty good corners you have?
That word is slight. I don't know if I can ride with
Okay, so maybe he's a big improvement.
Yeah, he's an improvement, and in this manner. You see what he did to Nuke last weekend, and that's one of the top guys in the league, period. You're going to face guys as you're getting ready to go to where you want to go, and that's playing the upper echelon teams and getting better and playing these teams, getting ready for playoffs and all of these. To have a guy like that, as said, that you can say, hey, you go worry about him. We're worried about everybody else. Hey, that's money in the bank. That's money in the bank in a league where we're passing the ball so many times every game. If you can get you a shutdown corner, and trust me, we don't have many shutdown corners. Right now, I will only deem great Jalen Ramsey a shutdown corner in the whole NFL. In the whole NFL. Now, I remember when there was a Darryl Green, there was a Deion Sanders, a Rod Woodson. And I used to have to go up against all these guys one-on-one. Or, you know, Aeneas Williams. We had shutdown corners. Right now, it is only Jalen Ramsey. And if you can get that kid, you go get him.
Interesting stuff from Michael Irvin. One more Niner issue, then we're opening it up to the rest of the league. Deebo Samuels got in the end zone and is continuing to, I think, improve that he is maybe more important to this team than Dante Pettis, who got on the field more but wasn't targeted once in a blowout loss. Maybe that's because Garoppolo just doesn't trust him.
Yeah, but and even listening to the broadcast and that game and watching that game, they talked about how much Shanahan talked about Samuel, and they gave him every kind of way, reverses, all sweep, gave him the ball in many, many different places. So, yeah, he's coming on now. He had a few drops. You know, he's had some drops and everything, and he'll sure that up because that's just confidence, too. That's confidence. But I like what I saw in that kid, man. I remember we were talking the year you guys lost Gropp, and I was like, man, now it's time to look for the young guys that you think will be around when it really matters. And you know, I look down, you know, I know I already told you how much I love Kittle. But I'm going to tell you, watching Brill run last week, oh, my God, run Sunday, was incredible, man. Did you see that run where he did what he did to Jackson on that run?
Just cooked him right in the hole. I mean, cooked him.
Oh, my God, dude. That's taking a dude out in a phone booth. That was in a phone booth. That's like you going in, Clark Kent coming out, Superman, in a phone booth. He's a doo-doo-doo, and then cut all the way back. That was Barry Sanders-ish right there in the hole, running runs, making runs like that. You got some great young talent, man. It's interesting to watch it, and it'll be interesting to watch it grow over the years.
Michael, let's turn our attention to the Raiders, who I thought put three decent quarters of football around a second quarter where they got hit in the face with a pie and pantsed and were given a swirly by the Kansas City Chiefs, who just went, you know, nuclear option in that second quarter where Patrick Mahomes was throwing over, under, and around everything. It was a bad day of football for a much better Raider team than at any point in time we saw last year. I know it was a rough one, but they're better. They're a lot better.
Yeah, a lot better. I'm in New York now because I got to do Inside the NFL tomorrow. And that's one of the things I want to talk about. I want to give kudos to the team that had a shakeup, but still playing the way they played. Like, to see what the Raiders did, win in week one, then to turn around. And I was like, man, when they were up 10-0, I said, oh, my God, they're about to be Kansas City. And you know, to come off of that, the emotional pain from having AB to not having AB, and then coming back and winning that first game, that Monday night game, and then setting up 10-0 on the Chiefs. I was like, wow, this is incredible after what they've gone through. So you're absolutely right. They are tons better, tons better. That's the top of the food chain that they lost to in KC. And they have to be sitting in their locker room saying, we had them. We had a chance. We had a chance. We just got locked down that second half, and we got locked down that second half, but we had a chance. They have to feel good about where they are, the Oakland Raiders do.
That being said, not a great game for Derek Carr. Reportedly audible out of a run play to throw an interception near the goal line. And just overall, you know, it seems like every time Derek Carr does something that makes us think he's back on track, he takes a step back. Where are you at on Derek Carr as a franchise quarterback?
Well, the thing is, too, what we have to consider also now, Derek Carr is doing this without, you know, he's been used to having a main receiver.
Yeah.
He had Amari Cooper for a while. Then he thought he was getting AB. You know what I'm saying? He thought he was getting AB. And a few years ago, Derek Carr looked great. We thought this was the new young guy coming in this league. I would still hold out hope for Derek Carr. I would still hold out hope, but I would like to see them find him a main guy. You know, like they were trying to find that main guy. They thought they had him, of course. You know, now he's in New England doing what he does. But I would like to see them find him another main guy to go on the outside.
Okay, after 2 weeks now.
That's not a takeaway from Tyrell, because that kid's been playing. The kid's been playing over there. Tyrell Williams' kid's been playing. I mean, he balls pretty good. But I still would like to see them find another kid, find another player.
After 2 weeks now, if you were in the situation of a Miami Dolphin, what tool would you sharpen to dig through the floor and escape?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Off of 2 weeks, I mean, one, they get hammered in week one. And in game two, they play okay for a half against New England. And then, as I'm watching the game, I'm seeing a lot of guys sort of 80%ing it, 75%ing it. Like, the realization is in that they're not competitive. And I'm wondering, at what point do you look at it when you're surrounded by a bad team, and maybe that never happened to you, well, you're surrounded by a team that is so bad that there is no escape. At which point do you ask for a trade?
It happened. It happened early in my career. Like I said, my first year, we went 3-13. The second year, we're in Dallas, we went 1-15, and that was Jimmy's first year. But the difference was this. And having Jimmy Johnson and hopefully Brian Flores is saying the same thing, and having Coach Johnson, he would always lay claim. He said, you know, he would let people know, listen, no, we're not winning games, but I am checking everybody, and I want to make sure I'm measuring who's playing hard, who's going to be around in the future, and if you're not here, Jimmy scared us. He said, I'm going to make sure you're not anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So we think, oh, you going to blackball me? You're going to blackball us? We don't play hard, you know. So they have to be talking future. They have to be talking. We're trying to find the guys that are going to be here for a while and be here for the future. We need to find those guys. And we're looking at it on film. And he would always, what he would do too, a lot of times, is bring the whole team in to watch film. to make sure, because the best people to police everybody are the people in the locker room. And he would bring everybody in to show everybody who's hustling and who's not hustling, regardless to whatever happens with the score of the game. And we were losing a lot of games, but he was harping on who's hustling and who's not hustling. Who's going to be around when we turn this thing around, and who's not going to be around when we turn it around. And that's what they have to be doing in Miami right now.
Michael Irvin, let's wrap up with this. Saints and Rams had another, you know, call that probably should not have happened, the fumble return that got overturned. Look, what do we have replay for if they're going to blow whistles dead? I don't understand why they're blowing so many whistles to blow plays. Well, just let the play happen and then go back and look at it. Like, right there, it would solve, I think, half the replay issues. Just put the whistle down and we'll check the film when it's over and done with.
And that's exactly what they're supposed to do. To be honest with you, Dean, that's exactly what they say. Since it's, you know, let it play out, and we'll bring it back if we have to. That inadvertent whistle, that was shameful. That was shameful to have it happen again and to have to go and say that to the Saints again. We blew it again. That was absolutely shameful. Exactly how you explained it. You talked to Al Riveron. Head of refs, that's how it's supposed to play out. They were supposed to lay off the whistle and we'll look at it and see it after the play. They just blew that play.
Always great to talk to you, Michael. Thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to what you see, what you pull out of the closet next for the wardrobe, man. It's always an adventure.
It's always having fun, buddy. It's always, I'm trying to tantalize your ear gate as I also give you some visualization in your eye gate. That's what we do, buddy.
Hey, I'm all over it every week. I'm fascinated by it.
That's what we do. And good talking to you guys.
The man, Michael Irvin, here on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure. We're going to talk to him each and every week. Normally, our conversations are at 4 o'clock on a Monday. Today, push back to 4:30. Never a bad time, though, to talk to one of the most interesting guys in the entire sport. We will have more on what Kyle Shanahan said at his press conference. We peeled away from it to get to bigger things. We've got much more coming up in our final hour, so don't you go anywhere. That's still around the corner. We've got Kenny Albert joining us at 5:30. Kenny Albert not only called the Niners week one win in Tampa, he was in Pittsburgh yesterday as the Steelers pretty much saw it all come crashing down. And even though the backup quarterback played well, week three's game at Levi Stadium just went from home opener you want to win, from home opener that becomes a must win if you want to be taken seriously as a credible football team from here on out. All that's coming up in our fourth and final hour, which is next here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.